The Guardian.
Support for this podcast comes from Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes creating a professional website for your business, personal brand, or portfolio so easy, it's newsworthy. Go to squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
World Cup Football Daily with James Richardson.
Tuesday saw the stars in action, Wednesday just in action, as the Argentines enjoy a long night of draw with the Dutch, left all parties looking blunted. After viewers went through the full spectrum of emotion from ho to hum, Football Daily pokes a slumbering Scott Murray and does its thing on day 28 of the World Cup. Expecting Argentine Viking metal, I must say. But I was expecting Scott Murray and James Horncastle, and my predictions were correct. Hey, Scott.
Hi, James.
All right. James Horncastle.
Jimbo.
Oh, classy stuff. Now, we've just seen an epic match, an epic second semi-final of this World Cup. Argentina going through to the final, where they'll be facing Germany, of course. And for the Dutch, it's that third, fourth play on Saturday night against Brazil. The penalties are what I guess is going to dominate the early part of this conversation, listener, because they're the bit that's just happened. And they're actually pretty much everything that happened, are they, in that game? Should Van Gaal have brought on Krul? Should he?
Well, I mean, in hindsight, yes, because the psychological impact of that in their last game was huge. Even though Krul had saved, what, 2 in 20?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't seem to matter. I think it to some extent got into the Costa Ricans' minds, and he was very well drilled by their goalkeeping coach.
Mm. Well, he did that thing of walking to one side. We talked about this yesterday.
Yeah. But Cillessen
didn't do that.
No, and he didn't. He didn't have the same swagger as Krul did. Yeah, he wasn't intimidating and strutting up to his opponents. He was. Yeah, he almost looked kind of quite tentative and. Yeah, when that last penalty went in, and he was very close to getting it.
Yeah. Well, he got a hand to it, didn't he?
He did, but
you got to feel disappointed with that, haven't you, Scott?
Well, he's never saved a penalty in his professional career, apparently.
But whether or not you believe that penalties are a lottery, if you get into a position where you actually get a hand to the ball, as a goalkeeper, that is your job to.
I mean, Maxi hit a fair pelt, I guess. In his defence,
but Neuer would have stopped it.
I think he should have probably parried it, shouldn't he?
Mm. All right,
but I mean, Van Gaal, you'd expect, considering how he'd set his team up to play, which was to stop Argentina playing, have De Jong on Messi. It didn't look like they were looking to win it. Now, in his final substitution, he brings on Huntelaar for an anonymous Robin van Persie, another anonymous performance from him, and it didn't change much. I mean, it was a lot faster and looser in extra time, but yeah, should he have retained that? I think you could have. Most people watching that game would have said this has got penalties written all over it.
I'm sure someone's tweeting right now, I haven't seen a Man United player look that anonymous since that Ryan Giggs. Which, yeah, anyway. Well, it was a curious game, wasn't it? As you say, they stuck De Jong on Messi, and I'm guessing that Sabella did something similar to stop. It was a bit like watching, I don't know, Darren Brown and Professor X doing rock, paper, scissors. There was each team always had the answer to the other team's efforts before they even got anywhere near having a shot.
But I think there comes a point where the players seem to be getting, they're sort of avoiding a lot of flack in situations like this and hiding behind this supposed tactical brilliance of the managers. You know, I mean, players as good as Messi, as good as Robin, should actually be making a mark on this.
Mm.
It doesn't matter whether you put some, you know, put a couple of men and a plan in place. They should be doing something. And Messi just drifted through the whole thing. And suddenly, and he just didn't look interested, which was odd. And there was suddenly a run with about maybe 5 or 6 minutes to go, roughly, and there was certainly in the second period of extra time where he sort of broke down the right wing and suddenly looked this world-class player again instead of Maxi Rodriguez for a half chance. But you were just thinking, well, you know, more of that.
Well, a couple of stats, or three perhaps. I'm not sure if this stat was true in the 120th minute, but in the 105th minute, Lionel Messi had failed to make a single touch in the opposition box. That's quite extraordinary. The Dutch didn't get their first shot in until the 98th minute. And there's one here which may not actually be true. Cillessen may have completed more dribbles this game than Messi or Robin. I think that was from Simon Cooper. It should be true. It might well be.
Actually, he did drop a shoulder on two separate occasions to diddle pass. I think Aguero was one. I can't remember who the other one was. And in some ways, that was the best skill that was on display.
Why did nothing happen, Scott?
Why did nothing happen?
They were both...
I guess the pat easy answer is I just don't think either of these teams are very good.
Okay. Well, that'll do. That'll save some editing for Ben. yesterday, Mikael Jongsma was saying that Van Gaal's plan to stop Messi would be sticking De Jong on. And I think we thought, well, that can't be it. You know, surely that wouldn't be enough. But it certainly seemed to be. Well, let's dial up Mikael Jongsma and see if the satisfaction of being right in that prediction in any way makes up for the disappointment of heading into a third, fourth playoff with Brazil.
World Cup Football Daily with AC Jimbo.
Good evening.
Hi, how are you doing?
For such a dull match, it was actually quite tense to watch.
I can imagine it was very tense to watch if you were one of the interested parties. We were just mentioning the fact that you said yesterday that the plan was going to be stick De Jong on Messi. It didn't seem like that would be enough. But as it turned out, it absolutely was. He kept him absolutely quiet.
Yeah, he did an incredible job. And I understood that Messi so far hasn't been walking and running a lot this tournament. And with a semi-fit Nigel Young, that apparently is good enough for us. And even though he was brought off after 60-odd minutes, Klaassi took over the role very well, and it wasn't Messi's night, but in the end, it didn't matter because the Argentinians are the one that progressed. So,
What was your view on the game as you were watching it? We felt that Argentina looked like they were doing more to win the game.
Yeah, probably. I think the Netherlands were a bit too focused on containing the danger of the opposition rather than trying to score one themselves. And when you play against a player like Messi, that psychological advantage is always there for a team like Argentina or Barcelona, for that matter. And I think that really showed in this game. Overall, I don't think there were many good chances for either of the teams. But the Netherlands didn't show the attacking intent they have shown in previous matches.
How frustrating was it for you?
Well, I think a lot of the Dutch would feel more comfortable with a 1-0 loss in extra time than this. I mean, again, with penalties, it's not been the first time for the Dutch they've been knocked out like this. We were so close in many aspects, and on the other hand, if you miss the first penalty, you kind of know it's coming. They're very difficult to say something sensible about, actually.
Mikael, how will this be received in the Netherlands? Will it be taken positively? Because Van Gaal has come under some criticism, although for he's been hailed as his tactical genius, for not playing... You know, in the style and the tradition of not in the same way that Bert van Marwijk's team, but it hasn't been a very typically Dutch free flowing attacking football team, has it?
No, it hasn't. But I think that whereas 4 years ago a few players were in absolute top form, including Wesley Sneijder, this time around a lot of the people actually had quite a horrific season. And I think Van Gaal has been hailed because he has shown a game plan in every game, whereas 4 years ago the only plan seemed contained the opponent and let Robin and Van Persie and Sneijder sort the rest. It wasn't that different this time around, but a few tweaks here and there, and of course less fouls than 4 years ago. made this a more acceptable performance. Plus, the big thing, of course, is that last time around we faced only Brazil until the final and Uruguay without Suarez as big teams. And this time we've done well against dark horses, so-called Chile, Spain, and even Mexico.
Well, it was a spectacular start against the Spanish with that 5-1 win that seemed to promise so much. And I remember you back at that point saying, yeah, but look out, we've started well before and tailed off. But it's remarkable how much Holland have tailed off. Am I right in saying that they've got less impressive with every single game that passed? And how does that reflect on Van Gaal?
Well, I think at first there was the element of surprise. Nobody expected anything from the Dutch. I recall... The guys at Football Weekly as well stating that the Dutch were quite likely to go out in the first round. So he kind of defied that. Afterwards, yeah, when you come up against Mexico, the Netherlands tend to be favorites. The same went for Costa Rica, and I think the Netherlands were never comfortable in that role. So I think that has that is a major difference compared to. At the beginning of the tournament. Mm. Apart from that, Nigel de Jong being out for almost two games never really helped. And overall, I think this side, while talented, doesn't have the quality yet to be one of the major nations in a World Cup or European Championship. So from that perspective, a semi-final is actually quite an achievement.
That's true. I mean, England can only dream of such things at the moment. You must be stoked up anyway for Saturday night in the third, fourth playoff, eh?
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Excellent.
We've never been third in the World Cup as well, so there's still something to conquer.
Absolutely. But, will it be a big game for the folks there in Netherlands?
Well, Robin said, well, we might as well just toss that game away because I don't really care about it. And lots of people in the Netherlands in general are like, well, I won't turn on my TV Saturday if the Dutch have to play. On the other hand, Ron Vlaar was really, really anxious to win that game. And personally, one of my first World Cup memories after 94 was 98, and we lost a game against Croatia, which I still find quite annoying. Because I think you have to go in for every game with the intention to win. But I don't think that they'll be as eager for that game as they were for this one.
Yeah, Ron Vlaar, amazing stats on him. 100% tackles won, 100% aerial duels, 11 clearances, 6 interceptions, 92% pass accuracy. Wow.
Yeah, apart from his penalty, he was exceptional, yeah. As he has been throughout this tournament. I mean, particularly against Spain, completely had Diego Costa in his pocket, and I don't think many people would have expected that from him.
I thought he was just pleased to see me. But that said, was the man of the match actually Javier Mascherano?
It was a toss-up between him and Dirk Kuyt.
Dirk Kuyt.
I thought Kuyt was superb. Another great penalty at the end as well. But Mascherano was fine. I mean, there was a couple of times where the Dutch, particularly Robin, looked to break through, and it was him that was sliding in.
It was an amazing challenge in extra time, wasn't it? The start of the extra time, first period of extra time, was it? It was just before the 90 was up, when Robin was coming through. And then
that's correct, yeah.
Mascherano. Then, yeah. But then a lot of people saying he shouldn't have been on the field at that point.
No, I mean, he suffered a clash of heads, was it early in the first half, got up and then stumbled over.
He did look knocked out, didn't he?
Looked like he'd suffered a concussion and was allowed to play on. Yeah, you have to trust Argentina's medical team. There's also a...
Why?
Well, there's also a separate FIFA medical team.
No, I'm not being funny. I'm just saying why, because there's no way they can tell if he's got a... Well, at least...
No, but I mean, there is people there to intervene and say, take him off in that sense.
But it's a curious thing, because some sports feel that you can't make an adequate test to see if someone's concussed then and there. So if anyone does get that kind of a blow to the head and appear to be unconscious, as Mascherano appeared to be, then you have to stop them for, say, a week or whatever.
And his performance after it is irrelevant in terms of, you know, what he was excellent, but the long-term effects of that challenge could be very, very damaging.
Well, especially if he was receiving it. But I mean, we all know, it's a bit of a boring subject to bring up, but it does seem but, I mean, to be curious early, how football happily lets people play on.
I mean, early in the tournament, Alvaro Pereira, the Uruguay player, suffered something similarly very serious and was allowed to play on. And there doesn't seem to be any comment made by FIFA officials. And it is quite alarming.
All right. Well, let's hope he's feeling better for Sunday when Argentina have their big date with Germany. Saturday, as we mentioned, it's Brazil-Holland. Fernando Duarte, who was in fine form in yesterday's edition, tweeting, "We are a nation of 200 million Germans." I can imagine they will be. It's a little bit of a shame we're not getting to see Argentina-Brazil, either in a third, fourth playoff or a final. We'll have the whole tournament without those two sides ever facing each other. That great Pacino De Niro Heat. Moment that everyone was looking forward to is not quite going to come off.
But they might lift the trophy, which is probably the worst nightmare Brazil can have.
Yeah. A lot of reaction on the message boards to Tuesday's events and Brazil's spectacular collapse, Germany's enormous triumph. Alistair Ross, no team had ever conceded more than 5 goals at halftime in a World Cup semi-final. Only Zaire and Haiti had ever conceded 5 in a single half. Now add to that list Brazil in their own World Cup. Woof-owl. Dan Gorn writes in, "Jimbo, say what you will about how poorly Brazil played, at least they didn't bite anyone." That's certainly true. Dirty Hair Halo says, "It's all very well giving erudite post-match analysis. Can we talk about the most important thing? Surely this German side is the most puntastic team in World Cup history. No one else comes closer." Domtal picks up that baton and runs with it and says, "Is that the silver lining for Brazil?" Silver, you understand. They were certainly Müller tonight. It was like they Dante know what hit them. They were like a lamb to the slaughter. Yeah, it must have been hard to play with all that pressure. Germany, on the other hand, were in cruise control. Silence of the fans was telling you could hear a pin drop in the latter stages. I thought he was flagging there, Domtal, but he just came through with a little bit of quality in that final sentence. And Nat Bank of Uganda, who messages me quite regularly,
sending money to him.
He basically takes issue with this whole notion that last night's, i.e. Tuesday night's semi-final, was in any way special. He points out one-sided matches between football superpowers at international and club level have become more commonplace, especially in the last 5 years. After all, only 3 weeks ago we saw Holland beat Spain 5-1. It could have won by a lot more as well, the Dutch. And then he mentions all the huge ones we had in the Premier League season that's just gone and all that kind of thing.
What is it that people actually want from football?
I don't know.
Like a 7-1 home defeat in a World Cup semi-final by the 5-time world champions.
There you go, Nat Bank of Uganda. Have a word with yourself. Anyway, on Friday we're going to have a proper look at the whole Germany-Argentina final and how it should play out. And but Scott, just, you know, while we're all sat here around this merry campfire, and now that those Argentine death metal minstrels Vikings have made their way off down the road, Vikings, do tell them, what do you think about this game? I mean, a stat for you: Argentina have scored only one more goal in this tournament than Germany got in just their last game.
Yeah, I mean that last semi's just like screwed up all the stats, really, hasn't it? I mean, I guess the only thing, the weirdest thing about the game last night was the amount of chances Germany gave up just after half-time, which is the one thing that Argentina will be going and looking at this and thinking, well, they're not as good a defence as Holland, for example.
So Argentina's plan might be to let the Germans get, say, 5 goals five up so that they switch off and give them some chances. Because I don't think Germany necessarily would have been playing with that lack of intensity just after half-time, would they?
Maybe, but I mean, they've on occasion, I wouldn't, you know, it's not as if they've exactly been leaking goals through the tournament. That'd be a daft thing to say. But just on occasion, I mean, they were certainly rattled by Algeria, for example.
And Ghana as well, no?
Yeah, in the second half of Ghana. So it's not as if they've got this amazing watertight defence. And I think, I mean, the big if there is that Argentina just haven't at any point in this tournament really clicked as a attacking force. If one or two of them, Messi or, you know, Lovetzi was pretty decent tonight, I thought if just someone can show for them, it might be interesting. I think they'd have to score first.
You're still waiting for a defining match from Messi, no?
I am still waiting for a defining. He's certainly in the World Cup, and I think there's fewer than people might think. Certainly a couple of decent, like, classical displays. The one Champions League final, which, you know, but I mean, when you're talking about...
What do people expect from football?
Well, I deserve that. But I guess if you're talking about someone like Messi, who's always been compared, and quite rightly so, to the Maradonas and the Pelés, you know, this is the top drawer stuff, and I think you have to be really, you know, harsh, and I think he still needs that one defining performance, and I really do hope it's this weekend, actually, because I think it's possibly the one thing left that this World Cup would have if he suddenly leaps from being this amazing, you know, we all know he's an amazing player, but to deliver on the international stage as well, I think would be something to see.
He hasn't had a Zidane Brazil game or Maradona England game
yet.
Well, I think this is the weird thing. I think Messi's a better player than Zidane in terms of, you know, the package of skill and what he delivers week in, week out. But it is just that big thing. This happens once every 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's when the pressure's on. The Champions League is once every... Well, it's annual. So there's always another chance coming around. This is... You have to deliver. And he's not yet. But, you know, let's hope so.
Right. He's had a good tournament in... Yeah, came up big in the group stages, decisive goals, having perhaps not performed well over the entire 90 minutes. Great assist for Di Maria against Switzerland, and then that
incredible,
fantastic pass for him against Belgium, which didn't come off. So he has had moments of quality, but, you know, still not a, perhaps a defining, you know, where you'd go away from this tournament and go, wow, that was an outstanding 90-minute display from him.
And certainly kept quiet by De Jong in that fashion was a real surprise. Well, Friday morning, as I say, we'll be back to have a bit of a chat with Rafa Honigstein and generally look forward to Germany, Argentina and that kind of thing. Do join us for that. Many thanks to James Horncastle and Scott Murray and producer Ben and you, listener. In the meantime, enjoy yourself. Till next we speak.
World Cup Football Daily, just like being in Brazil.
Support for this Guardian podcast comes from Squarespace. With World Cup fever taking over, we at The Guardian are pretty sure that you're thinking big too. So maybe now is the time to use Squarespace to create your own professional website for your small business, portfolio or blog. It's easy. You could create your own site during halftime. Just go to squarespace.com to start your free trial. And to support this podcast, use the offer code GUARDIAN to get 10% off.